Today, the Solemnity of All Saints is a very special celebration for us as Catholics because it's a day when we honor all the saints, those who have been able to live the faith in fidelity, and today they enjoy God's glory in heaven. Those canonized officially by the church, and those we don't know, some of our grandparents are saints, and so it's a very special day for us. So I have a few points to share with us about today's celebration. And point number one, today's feast reminds us of our primary purpose in life. We were created and called to be holy. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, and 1 Peter 1, verse 16, scripture says that, be holy, because God our Father is holy. And so that's our basic and our primary vocation in this world, the call to holiness. And to be holy means to be human. It is not human to sin. Most times when I listen to confession, people say, because of my weakness and my human weakness, and I fell into this sin. No! You got it. No! It is not human to sin. The little one is confirming that. Jesus said, let the little one come to me. It is not human to sin. It is inhuman to sin. And that's why we tell people that what you just did is inhuman. When we are mean to someone, we use that expression, you are inhuman. So it is not human to sin. It is human to be holy. It is human to be holy. We become less human when we sin. We become less human when we sin. So sin is a wound to our humanity. Our humanity is actually the call to holiness. So the call to holiness is to become fully human. And that's the grace that our Mother Mary enjoyed in the Immaculate Conception. So the Immaculate Conception did not make Mary a superhuman, or it's not an augmentation to her being, it's just the perfection of what humanity is supposed to be. So the call to holiness is the call to be human. To be holy does not mean to be perfect. It means to be set apart. And sometimes we get so worried, can I truly be holy? To be holy, it's not to be perfect. It's not to be without any weakness. It's to be set apart for God. Set apart for the things of the kingdom. Set apart to live the values of the gospel. That's what holiness means. That we are able to give God our time, our life, our resources, and commit our life to Him. And then He transforms us. He transforms us. That's what holiness is about. It means to renounce the world like Jesus proposed to us in the gospel, and its criteria and its approval. Today's feast reminds us that grace is more powerful than sin. I love the concluding prayer for this celebration in the Divine Office. Those of you who pray the Divine Office, the concluding prayer says, Almighty, ever-living God, we are celebrating with joy the triumph of your grace in the lives of the saints, the triumph of God's grace. You know, a few days ago, I told parishioners here that we have a natural capacity for holiness than we have for sinfulness. But sometimes we over-glorify our weakness. And we just said, oh, I am weak, I am... No, the grace of Jesus Christ on the cross is much more powerful than sin. And so you have a capacity for holiness much more than for sinfulness. And once you don't realize that, you give in, you just make, we make excuses and continue to repeat habits that offend the love of God in our lives. So today's celebration reminds us that grace can triumph when we give God the chance. Grace can triumph. And if you are able to just think back in your life, is there any habit that was completely a burden in your life that today you are free from? If there is any sin that you have been able to overcome, is a sign that you can be holy, is a sign that you can make it to heaven. I have overcome a lot of weaknesses, and that gives me that motivation and encouragement to continue to persevere. And you have overcome a lot in your life. Grace is much more powerful than sin. The triumph of God's grace in the life of all the saints. So there is a temptation to think that our weaknesses are so many and so overwhelming that we think it's impossible for us to make it to heaven. But there is something called grace. And grace has that power that can transform every weakness, no matter how strong it is. St. Paul was very weak and very worried. He said, "Lord, I'm tired." And Jesus says to him, "My grace is what? Sufficient for you." God's grace is sufficient. So keep working on yourself. Don't lose hope. Continue to use the sacraments. And I assure you that the saints in your life will eventually bow down to God's grace. Point number 3. Today's feast reminds us that we have friends and family members in heaven who can also help us grow in holiness when we call on them. The saints in heaven are the main reason why we say that the church is universal. The church is universal because it is rooted much more in heaven. We have friends, we have witnesses, like the book of Hebrews 12 says, a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us and praying for us. And when we have that connection with them, we will get to be where they are. Growing up, I have this fear, this doubt in my mind that the standard of God is just too high. There is no way I'm going to make it to heaven. But you see, today's first reading is a great, great source of hope for me. John the Beloved says that I saw a great multitude, not few people, not thousands, not millions, multitudes of people in the kingdom. That's why you should be confident that you can make it. I can make it. God is not dangling the kingdom for us like a carrot. Jesus says that my Father is willing to give you the Spirit. He's willing to give you the kingdom. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 4, St. Paul says that God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires to give us heaven. He desires to give us the kingdom. So do not be afraid. Do not give in to that doubt that you can make it. I have seen saints in my life. I have lived with people who radiate holiness. And sometimes I say, "God, I think you made a mistake with this person. She is supposed to be an angel, not a human being." And if you have seen or had contact with someone who radiates holiness, it's a sign that this is a reality that you and I can accomplish. Point number 4. Today's feast reminds us about the need to revive the culture of role models. I think the greatest problem in our society, especially with the young people, is that they don't have enough role models. If you ask them, "Who is your role model?" They will be naming maybe Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, and Kanye West. Those are not supposed to be role models. But that's the only role models that they know. People who are flamboyant, people who are popular, but they don't have morality, they don't have good values to share with these kids because they watch movies and musicals and they don't have role models. And so this celebration reminds us of that urgent need as grandparents, as parents, to be role models to our kids. And I want to propose this to you. Handel here has a daughter, Nasia, and I had this great opportunity to have lunch with them some time ago. And there is this, is it nephew or cousin? Matthew. My dad's name is Matthew, so I remember him. This little boy. Matthew is always close to Nasia, and I said, why are they this close? And the mom told me that Nasia is like a role model to Matthew. And Matthew is always asking Nasia, what should I do? And, oh, don't do this. And he listens very well to Nasia. So if we as grandparents can match our kids, their cousins up, just match them up. Let them be role models to each other. The older ones become role models to the younger ones. And teach them right values. Ask questions. Yesterday I asked a young teenager here who was 7, Asha, who is your role model? And he said, Father Clement. And I said, this guy, you have a poor judgment, a poor sense of... I can be your role model. I'm so hopeless. But he says I'm his role model. But I was touched by that. And a few weeks ago, a mother brought her child and said, Lucas says he wants you to be his mentor. And I said, wow. Yeah, and I helped him with a few things. He had a lot of questions. So these kids really need role models. If we can do that for them, we'll be building a legacy that can help our culture and our society and our world to continue to move in the right direction. So we pray that the saints will continue to intercede for us, that someday we will join them to share the joy and happiness and celebration of God's kingdom. I am just a weary pilgrim, moving through this world of sin, getting ready for the city where the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Lord, I want to be in the number.